Today we're going to talk a little bit about the tefillos of Rosh Hashanah. Most often when we talk about Rosh Hashanah, we're thinking about Tkiyas Shofar, but the tefillos are very unique and prominent, obviously, as far as how we spend our day. And probably the most prominent feature of the tefillos of Rosh Hashanah is the unique format of Musaf and Rosh Hashanah, where we have Malchios, Achronos, and Shofros. So where does the recitation of Psukim, of Malchios, Achronos, and Shofros come from? So first of all, is it even a mitzvah d'oraisa, or is it a din d'rabbanan that we're supposed to refer to these Psukim? So there are two Psukim in the Torah that describe Rosh Hashanah slightly differently from each other. Yom Teruah and Zichron Teruah. And the Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, in the fourth paragraph of Rosh Hashanah, tries to figure out why it is that Rosh Hashanah is referred to as a Yom Trua and also as a Zichron Trua. So the most famous answer that the Gemara gives is the one that the Gemara rejects, right? Meaning Zichron Trua, the Gemara suggests, might be referring to that day that we can't blow shofar, when Rosh Hashanah is Chal on Shabbos and you can't blow shofar, and that's when it's only a Zichron Trua. But the Gemara rejects that. The Gemara says, no, Minat Torah, of course you blow shofar on Shabbos. It's only a Din Midrabanan that we don't blow shofar on Shabbos, and that's not the resolution to Yom Trua versus Zichron Trua. So why don't we blow shofar Shabbos? So what then is the meaning of Zichron Trua? So Rashi Ala Torah, Rashi in Chumash says that it means that in addition to Yom Trua, to blowing shofar, it's also a Zichron Trua. We also are supposed to say things. We're supposed to say psukim about it as well. The din d'oraisa is to speak about the shofar. How many psukim you use and which psukim to use, all of that is midrabanan. But Rashi seems to understand that it's that whatever we choose to use is a kiyum d'oraisa of Zichron Trua and midrabanan. They figured out how we're going to be mekayim that mitzvah midoraisa. The Ramban in Parshas Emor disagrees. He says that's against the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Dalet, I think it is. Gemara talks about Lamed Gimel. The Gemara talks about what if you have an option. You can either go to a city that has a shofar, or you can go to a city that has tefillah, that has the ability to daven, that has a shliach tzibur. So which one should you go to? So Gemara says, well, on the one hand, the shofar is d'oraisa, and the tefillah is only midrabanan. So it makes it very clear that the zichron trua, that mentioning these psukim in the tefillah, is only midrabanan, not like Rashi says. So the way they're miyashiv Rashi, all the achronim explain that Rashi holds that there is a mitzvah of zichron trua on a d'oraisa level, but only when there's also a yom trua, only when it's also a tkiyah shofar. But in the absence of shofar, to just talk about the shofar, when there's no actual shofar, that would only be midrabanan. That would not be midah oraisa. So anyway, this is what we do. We recite all of these psukim, whether it be midah oraisa or midrabanan. Shulchan Aruch does paskin on sim tavkav tzad yal siv dalid that omr asar psukim shal malchios, asar shal zichronos, asar shal shofros, and bechol brachu bracha shloshim yam shal torah, shlosh shal ksuvim, shlosh shal neviim. By each bracha you say three psukim of torah, three of neviim, three of ksuvim, then three of neviim, and then ve'echad shal torah at the end. And then the Rama says mihu im lo hischil b'shum pasuk rak omr uvisrascha kasuv leimar yatsa. If you didn't start saying any pasuk, and you just say v'sarascha kasav leimar, you're yotzei. And the Magen Avraham adds, not just v'sarascha kasav leimar, but also v'chein kasav v'divrei kadshcha, v'chein nemar al-idei avadecha neviim. You have to mention that it's also in neviim, in ksuvim and neviim as well. So the way the Ramah is formulating this is that if a person has to, for some reason, shorten his Shmon Esrei HaMusaf, a person lo aleinu is a chola, and he doesn't have the koach to daven a full Shmon Esrei, that he can act truly get away with saying right, and you just go that way directly into, and then he would be yotze b'diavad. Obviously that would not be l'chadchila, but in b'makom that a person would be desperate, he might rely on such a thing. Now the Mishnah at the end of Rosh Hashanah describes that you're supposed to say, as we just mentioned, a total of 10 psukim for each of the three sections, three psukim for Malchus from Chumash, three from Tehillim, three from Navi, and then you're mashlim b'Torah, and then you blow each for Malchus, Achronos, and Shofros. So it's very clear that those psukim were not, even the specific psukim to say, were not necessarily determined at a very early stage. The Gemara discusses, you know, what kinds of psukim would be good enough, what counts as Achronos, what doesn't count as Achronos, what if it's a Zecher but it's a Achronos. zichronos of something that's a negative zikaron? Is that, would that count as zichronos? But there are a few of the psukim that seem to be somewhat odd choices that led to a discussion in the achronim. The last pasuk of shofros of Yom Simchaschem Moadechem doesn't even have the word shofar in it. It talks about chatzotros. So that's the achronim discuss why we would choose such a pasuk. It doesn't say shofar, but maybe chatzotros similar enough to the shofar. They need to be blown together, and that they used to be blown together rather. And we even learn out some of the dine tkios from what's done with the chatzotros. Plus, it's only the 10th pasuk anyway. It's just added to get a round number. So poses some problems. Also, Zechar Asel Niflaosav is an unusual pasuk that's used because it's not talking about Hashem remembering us. It's talking about how Hashem gives us a way to remember Him. So does that really count as a Zikaron? So I think they say Rav Soloveitchik used to not say that pasuk, or that the assumption is that it really connects with the following pasuk, and then you have to add another pasuk in order to equal 10. So there are a few minor issues with some of the pasukim, but none of those are based on real dinim d'oraisa. So just one other issue that comes up that Rav Soloveitchik spoke about, Rav Shachter speaks about a lot also, relating to tefilos and Rosh Hashanah, not relating to Musaf, is Rosh Hashanah is also the first day of the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, and in the end of the first paragraph of Masechus Brachos, the Gemara tells us that we say HaMelech HaKadosh and HaMelech HaMishpat during the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. And Tosfos quotes, those aren't the only additions into tefila. Tosfos quotes from the Gaonim, we have four other additions into the Shemona Esrei, but the two that are Dina de Gemara are HaMelech HaKadosh HaMelech HaMishpat, and that's why those are the ones that are Ma'akev. HaMelech HaKadosh is Ma'akev, and HaMelech HaMishpat would be Ma'akev if not for the fact that we anyway have the word Melech in the Chasimus HaBracha, Melech Oev Tzedakah U'Mishpat. But the mentioning of Malchus is Ma'akev. So there's a famous comment of the Chayei Adam. Chayei Adam quotes a chiddush from Rav Abla Pressvaler that if you forget HaMelech HaKadosh on the first night of Rosh Hashanah, then it's not ma'akev. Why? Because Ein Mekadshin is Chodesh B'Layla, and just like if you forget Yalav Yavo on the nighttime of Rosh Chodesh, you don't have to repeat Shemona Esrei because Ein Mekadshin is Chodesh B'Layla. So the same is true for Rosh Hashanah, where Hashem sits in judgment, but Hashem is only Yoshev Bedin, Bayom, and not B'Layla. So Mela, the whole Indian of mentioning HaMelech HaKadosh is not as critical B'Layla, and therefore you would not have to repeat Shemona. That's the famous chiddush of Rabbi Pressvaler. And Lechorah, by the way, it's different than Rosh Chodesh. It wouldn't that svara Lechorah would not apply on the second night. Meaning, it's really that the din hasn't begun yet on the first night, but the second night Mistama, that would you would have to you Lechorah, I would think that you would have to repeat. Rav Shachter points out a lot of times that when it comes to Yalav Yavo on Rosh Chodesh, a lot of times people think, oh, so it's not so important to say Yalav Yavo at Marav Rosh Chodesh. No, it actually becomes a little bit more important because there's no way to make it up, right? Meaning you can't repeat Shemona Esrei. So during the daytime, if you forget, then you'll repeat Shemona Esrei. At least you'll get it later. But anyway, the Rav Soloveitchik said in the Yartzeit, I believe, and Rav Shachter quotes in Eretz HaTzvi, that he disagreed with this Chiddush because there's a fundamental difference between Yalav Yavo versus HaMelech HaKadosh. Yalav Yavo is a hosafa to the Shemona Esrei. So when you don't say it, you're a Yotze Shemona Esrei, you're just not, we're not Yotze the Haskaras Meina Ma'ora, that's the hosafa onto the Shemona Esrei. HaMelech HaKadosh is the actual Nusach HaBracha for the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. It's not something that's added into Shemona Esrei, it's a change from within the Shemona Esrei. And therefore, if you missed it, you didn't say the correct Shemona Esrei. It's as if you were not mispalo the proper Shemona Esrei for that day. And that's why Soloveitchik thought that you would have to repeat even on the first night of Rosh Hashanah. It's just a couple of small ha'aras about the tefilos of Rosh Hashanah. Everyone should have a wonderful day.